We're here together today and on this second Sunday of Easter, continuing to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Part of the reality that you and I are constantly facing as well is the reality of life, and that at times life can be incredibly hard to live. It can be incredibly difficult to get through. And in my opening prayer, some of you may have heard, some of you may not, but Rick Warren's son took his life, long struggle with mental illness over a number of years, but still a tragedy on any level. And yet here we are in the midst of this time right now, and Saddleback is as well, a great community of faith in California, in the midst of celebrating Easter and the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And today is that lesson that I referred to last week at Easter about Jesus coming and speaking peace to the disciples in their upper room, that upper room full of fear and struggle and pain and brokenness. And so as we gather here together today, one of the realities that I want us to begin to embrace is that as we live our life, as the challenges and the struggles come, as God calls us to follow him and be faithful to his word, that he will be with us each step of the way. Through everything that we're going through, that the Lord is with the Warrens right now and being a comfort and a grace to them in the midst of a great loss that will take time to live into. So I just want to say to you today, may God's grace be with each one of us as we live out our life, and may we find in one another an incredible source of support, of prayer, and a strength for one another in coming to the Lord together. I want to share with you today a story that ties in with a series that I began a few weeks ago on the Ten Commandments, and I want to begin to pick up today. And this opening story speaks about the reality of art and how powerful it can be. I don't know about you, but there are some artists that I go and I see the works that they do, and they're incredibly inspiring. The extent of my artistic ability are stick figures. So I have a deep appreciation for anybody that can use colors and other things just to communicate beautiful images and truths. So I share the following story. There's a striking picture dealing with the fruits of anger. In it, Abel is bringing a firstling of his flock to sacrifice, and Cain is offering fruit from the ground. Both set fire to the wood on the rough stone altar, but while the smoke from Abel's rose straight to the sky unto the Lord God Almighty, Cain's is dashed downward by the wind. Cain turns toward his brother, who is kneeling devoutly, eyes lifted to God in prayer. God accepts Abel's offering, and Cain is angry about that. We see the offended brother lying dead upon the ground, while his brother gazes upon him with horror-stricken eyes. As he awakens from his passion to realize his sin, a serpent is seen crawling away. You know, art can be just that powerful, can it? It can communicate in symbol and in color the powerful reality and truth of what many of us as human beings struggle with in our lives. Art sometimes captures reality. You know, as you look at the Ten Commandments, one of the Ten Commandments clearly states, you shall not murder. And actually, murder is defined as the intentional ending of a human life. In the Old Testament, it was considered a capital offense. What this commandment speaks about is the reality that human beings are created in the image of God, and that every human being is incredibly special and sacred to God. As you look at the scriptures, I believe it's very clear that human life is sacred to God from the womb to the tomb. If you look at Psalm 139 and other scriptures, it talks about God knitting us together in our mother's womb. It talks about the reality of how God knew us in his mind even before we were formed in the womb. It says, before you were, I knew you. And so I would say to you that the sacredness of human life begins from the womb all the way to the last breath that somebody draws. That's how special human life is to God. It is sacred. It is to be honored and protected. And as much in our culture and in our world today, it seems as if violence is celebrated and there is a bloodlust that is going on in our current reality of living, we as the beloved of God, as the community of faith, need to continue to lift the standard that human life is sacred. It is to be honored and to be protected. And we're to honor God's word, you shall not murder. Now, as Jesus teaches about this commandment in his ministry, he begins to get into the spirit of what it really means. He goes on to say in Matthew that he teaches about the danger of anger and its relationship to murder. He says, anyone who is angry with his brother is subject to judgment. And so what we begin to see in Jesus' own teaching is he begins to draw together the relationship between anger and the spirit of destruction of another person. And I think what Jesus is getting at is the reality that anger is a very powerful emotion, isn't it? It's a very powerful emotion. I mean, for that matter, all of our feelings can be very powerful, and for some of us, some of them are stronger than others. But anger is one of those emotions that can just grab a hold of us. I'm sure some of you have seen pictures or read about or seen videos of, if you will, road rage. People just losing it on the road for whatever reason, and things escalate, and before you know it, somebody's hurt. And there are certainly situations, even within families, where there is an anger issue and there is a conflict in a relationship, and the anger escalates, and you can end up having domestic violence or somebody, even worse, being killed. And so one of the important things for you and I to realize is that this anger is a very powerful feeling and a very powerful emotion. The other reality that you and I have to come to grips, though, with is that we're human beings, aren't we? I mean, if I were as a priest here today to say to you, okay, so I want you to go home and not to be angry anymore. I mean, part of the reality there would be, well, how out of touch with reality is Father Joe? Pretty out of touch. I mean, just give me 5 minutes. I'll be on the road here and get behind somebody slow, and it's all over, right? So the reality is that we are human beings and that it is normal for us to get angry and upset at times. And so what's our response to be in the midst of that? And what's our response to be, particularly if we have a struggle with anger? Well, I think one of the first things that's important for you and I to do is to be honest about what our feelings are. Feelings are part of our lives. They are a gift from God to us. They're part of what makes us human. And they inform us about our relationships and the situations that we're going through. They shed a light on ourselves as well and who we really are as a person and what really matters for us and what really gets us going. And so it's important that we're honest about what we're feeling and especially what we're angry about and be in touch with that. And we also need to be in touch with that with other people, don't we? I mean, a lot of times you'll see this in families. Somebody is angry and upset, and it's the way in which they have moved in their relationships with other people. And it's the way in which they control other people. And so what you'll see in a family in dynamics a lot of time with an angry person or two or three is that everybody's busy dancing around the elephant. Everybody's busy dancing around that angry person. They do whatever they can not to make them angry. And so part of what you and I need to do if we're going to begin to experience healing in this area is, first of all, be honest about what's going on. And remember, God is not calling us to be dishonest. He's not calling us to pretend something is not going on. He's calling us to be real. He's calling us to invite him into the situation and to speak the truth in love. So first of all, be honest about your feelings and the reasons why you're angry. Maybe a particular person has upset you because of something they've done or said. Maybe you're upset about a particular event that hasn't gone your way and it really has caused you a lot of pain, and you're upset at God, or maybe you're upset at yourself because it hasn't worked out. Be honest about that. Be real about that and what's going on in your heart. Don't just stuff it, face it. Some of you might even find, as I'm talking about anger right now, you're saying to yourself, why did I come to church today? This is not what I needed to hear. Great week last week, but here he is talking about anger. he's bringing up some stuff for me and I'm getting angry at him. Right? Okay. Well, just be open to the healing grace of the Lord in this moment, you and I both. Be open to the reality of what's going on. Another thing that's important for us to realize about anger is that anger is often the army of pain. What I mean by that is that usually we are angry because someone or something has caused us pain, sometimes a lot of pain. And we send out that army of anger to protect us and to go against that other person or situation that's hurting us, and that's how we protect ourselves. But we're never going to be healed, we're never going to be whole until we begin to deal with the pain. So as you begin to do that, I would just suggest that if a particular person's coming to mind right now and you're pretty upset and angry with them, I would suggest maybe you don't call them later on today, but just give it some time and begin to reflect and pray through this. Reflect on your next steps. Take time on your decision and what you're going to do. Maybe you get together with them at some point and you talk with them in a way where you're more calm and at peace as you've prayed about it. Maybe you write a letter. Maybe you decide to just simply let it go. Maybe the Lord needs to heal your spirit because you're too tight and wound up about things and you need to learn to let go. Maybe that's what God's going to speak to you about. But what I invite you along with me to do as we begin to face the anger and the pain that's in our lives is to go before the Lord in prayer first and wait upon Him. Don't just jump, don't just act, don't just lash out in anger, but take some time with it and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and bring healing. The other thing that I think is really important for you and I to do is pray for God's righteousness in your life. It's very interesting. In James, it talks about the reality that the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Again, the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And what James is saying is that in some way, our anger and the way in which we rage and lash out at one another is not God's righteousness. It's not the way we're to walk in the holiness of God. And so I would encourage you along with me to just pray for God's righteousness, to pray that God's Holy Spirit begin to help you to let go of the anger, to release it, to forgive, to begin to heal your pain that is deep and real in your life, and to be open to God leading you at that point. Finally, I would invite you to reflect with me on this scripture from Matthew 5:44. This is one of my favorite scriptures, the preacher says facetiously. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. How many are ready to grab a hold of that one this morning? Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Let me just say that a lot of what Jesus teaches is humanly impossible. We cannot do it in our own strength. It is not our human propensity to move in that direction. This is a commandment, this is a direction that can only be fulfilled by the Holy Spirit of God through us. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. This is the invitation. So I want you to think about this for just a moment. Think about one of your enemies, whoever that person is, or that situation that's really making you angry. And maybe you have every right to be upset at them. Maybe they really are your enemy. Maybe you just want to right? Hear the word of the Lord. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I mean, we serve a Lord who on the final night on this earth, when people were coming around to arrest him and take him off to be crucified, as Peter cut off the ear of one of the chief priest soldiers, Jesus reached out and healed him. He healed one of the people that was going to be taking him to a torturous death. That is love. That is a love that to this day for me astounds me and speaks to me of the divinity and the holiness and the messiahship of Jesus Christ. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. In 1960, Adolf Coors III of Coors Brewery was kidnapped, held for ransom, and ultimately killed. Adolf Coors IV, his 15-year-old son, had a hatred for the killer of his father, who was named Joseph Corbett. In 1975, young Coors became a Christian, and he divested himself of the family business and went on his way. One day, Coors felt moved to visit Corbett at the maximum security unit of Colorado's Cannon Penitentiary, but Corbett refused to see him. Undeterred, Coors left the Bible for him, inscribed with this message: "I'm sorry that we could not meet. As a Christian, I am summoned by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to forgive you. I ask you to forgive me for the hatred I've held in my heart for you." Later, Coors confessed, "I have a love for that man that only Jesus Christ could have placed in my heart. I have a love for that man that only Jesus Christ could have placed in my heart." Beloved of God, on this second Sunday after Easter, the wonderful news I proclaim to you here today is that Jesus is alive. Our Redeemer lives. And another reason why I believe that is because of our brother Adolf Coors. If a son of a father can forgive that killer and speak to him a word of mercy and forgiveness and be willing to go and meet him and to give him a Bible and to work toward forgiveness, I say to you, that's a sign that Jesus is alive. That's a sign that the Holy Spirit of God is working in the heart of a believer that is open to the power and the mercy and the forgiveness of Almighty God. And I encourage you, along with me, as we gather around the altar of a Savior who has risen from the dead, to be open to his grace in your life this day, to be open to his peace that will transform and touch you, and to hear his word to you and me today: "Lord, there's no way I can do that. There's no way I can forgive. There's no way I can let go of this anger. There's no way you can heal me of this pain. There's no way I can change. I'm too old now. It's almost over. Why should I even try?" Because he loves you. Because he gave his life for you. Because he rose from the dead. And if you're still breathing, he isn't finished with you yet.